From KMUW Wichita.
From Toronto, Ontario.
And from Armenia, Spain.
This is You're Saying It Wrong. Let's talk words. Let's talk the words of the year. For better or for worse, we've reached the end of 2024. Today we'll take a look back. I'm Fletcher Powell, host and producer at KMUW in Wichita, Kansas. And joining me as they do each week, language experts and New York Times bestselling authors Kathy Petras and Ross Petras. Well, you two, it's the most wonderful time of the year, which is to say it's the end of the year, which sounds worse than I mean it.
That doesn't sound too good, Fletcher. Bah humbug, it sounds like today.
What I mean is, this is when we get to talk about the words of the year. All the dictionaries put out their words of the year. Sometimes we've got some pretty similar answers. Sometimes they're just way, way different from each other. But it's always fun to look at their ideas for what the word of the year is and what it means to have a word of the year.
But we also have a brilliant segue into the word of the year. And I mean, you can't make this stuff up. We got a letter from a listener, Bianca, and she wrote in asking us, and we'll see later why it segues in, but let's start with her question. I'm wondering if you would be willing to address the pronunciation and use of the word demure or demure. Merriam-Webster has a rather narrow definition of the verb. In Youglish, however, I hear people using this verb with a meaning that Merriam-Webster considers archaic, as delay, hesitate. Merriam-Webster lists the pronunciation as demur. However, in the Youglish examples, I hear people pronounce demur in various ways, including demure. In other words, they're actually saying the word demure, D-E-M-U-R-E.
Okay, so let me get this straight. What she's talking about is the word demur, D-E-M-U-R.
Right.
But she's saying she hears people say pronounce it demure as if it were the word demure, D-E-M-U-R-E.
And Fletcher, let's just throw this out. What's your definition of the word demur?
Demur, well, I mean, that definition that she gave is kind of like it, sort of hesitate or maybe put it off.
That's interesting because that's an old definition that's considered now relatively archaic. The classic definition now is I demur, Fletcher, from your definition. It's basically to take exception to, object.
Oh, really?
As in like an old movie with the lawyer going, I demur, you know, whatever.
They said that in old movies? I always heard them say I object.
No, actually.
I'm sorry, Ross.
No, but do you remember like 15 years ago or 20 years ago when we both got that like really terrible flu? And I was watching.
Oh, you were always watching Perry Mason.
Perry Mason.
I remember that.
Yes. And that's when I really kept hearing demur as a thing. It was objective.
Really
Perry Mason demurred to.
Fletcher, I knew it the Fletcher way.
Yeah. Sort of like if you ask me a question and I demur, I sort of like kind of don't answer, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just let it float by.
Anyway, that segues into one of the words of the year from dictionary.com, and we're not going to demur about this. It's demure. That was their big pick of the year.
Of course.
Yeah, it had to be, right?
So what's funny about this is when you guys brought this up, I don't know, let's say 4 months ago, whenever it exploded, I had not heard it at all. And apparently it had exploded that week or the week before, and it was everywhere, except apparently in my ears. Since then, I really still haven't heard it, except when people are talking about how ubiquitous it is. I still really haven't heard demure. Now, I'm not on TikTok. That makes probably a huge difference.
Yeah.
This is where Ross and I have talked about this. This is where we take exceptions with some of the choices. Because, okay, this was looked up. They said, dictionary.com said, demure's rise in usage was meteoric after it was Jules LeBron on her video. Which is a very demure, very mindful. Everybody started using it. So, okay, it skyrocketed from August on. I agree with you. I'm not hearing it anymore. It peaked, as far as I'm concerned, it peaked then. Everybody, everywhere you turn, demure, demure, demure. Now, not so much.
Well, there's one interesting aspect of that. You're right, Kath. We both talked about this, how it like peaks and then it goes away. One thing I'm sort of wondering about, a long time ago, we were talking about how language change occurs. And one of the principal ways language apparently occurs is that young women specifically young women tend to use words, and then it goes on. So now two things are happening here. We probably don't have all of that much contact with the generation that's using demure in the sense that they're using it. So I do wonder if, I don't, and we kind of have talked about this right and left, will it stick or not, like unbeknownst to us, kind of under the radar? And in 20 or 30 years, we're going to always be hearing demure used.
I don't think so. Because I think it was in effect, like, I don't know, groovier doing the twist. And it's like the twist was the only dance for a while, and then no one does the twist.
And it was not. Yeah, I agree with you. We don't. There's no way really of knowing it. I'm just sort of curious about it. My gut feel is that you're correct, that we're not going to hear it. But to throw my two cents in, there's a possibility that because we're in a different in a different age group and a different, you know, association, it might be still going on and we just don't know it.
But to me, it was more than it was really, I think, a catchphrase. It was very demure, Mary Vineful. It wasn't like it really was in that context only that it was being used in effect. It wasn't like you really started using it.
That's very possible. I mean, I think it's sort of like Riz. I don't think Riz is, we had that last year, I think. I don't think Riz is going to last for charisma, I would guess. Mm-hmm. But I really don't know is the problem, you know? Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's move along. This one, I think, is sticking with us. Oxford University word of the year is, drumroll, brain rot. I should say words of the year because they separated it to two words. And they have a quote, a phrase commonly used on social media to describe the deterioration of a person's mental state brought about by overconsumption of trivial online content.
Yeah. I haven't heard it as much as brain rot, but I've heard various other terms for it. Now, this is just sort of like how your brain deteriorates. This isn't how you end up going down conspiracy theory rabbit holes or whatever, right? Because often I heard that referred to as like brain worms.
Yeah.
Well, I think if you have brain rot, you're probably more
susceptible to brain worms.
Yes, I think so.
Now, this one they chose, this is one where they have people vote and then they talk about it.
Right.
So this was over 37,000 votes, and they said there was a lot of discussion. They analyzed language data, and they said it gained new prominence this year because it was the concerns about over-consuming, as Ross said. And it increased in usage frequency by 230% between 2023 and 2024.
But Fletcher, now I'm going to give you a little mini quiz. What do you think the first recorded use? Who said it and when did they say brain rot?
In this context?
In this context.
Oh. Well, not exactly well,
in
this
effect,
context.
Not exactly. This, oh, not okay. Specifically okay. The current context then, of
then,
internet.
Then my guess is that it is also related to technology, something like television or possibly even radio.
No.
Fletcher, try potatoes.
Potatoes.
Henry David Thoreau in Walden described living a simple lifestyle, and he made a quote, "While England endeavors to cure the potato rot, will not any endeavor to cure the brain rot, which prevails so much more widely and fatally?"
And nobody did anything about it, did they? It just got worse.
Well, we have the internet now,
yeah,
okay?
But they did cure the potato rot, so there's something.
There's hope. Yeah.
There's hope left. If they could do it with a spud, why not the brain?
All right, so we have demure from dictionary.com, and that was sort of like, okay, here's a word that was incredibly popular this year. Now we have brain rot from Oxford, and that was a word that won a voting contest.
Right, and we have a couple that didn't make it, too.
From Oxford?
Yeah, these were fun. There was a short list that they had.
Yeah.
We had dynamic pricing.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one, I think.
Yeah.
Because that's, I mean, they said that that's you know, it's an older term in the past 20 years or whatever, but I think it's really gotten big now.
Right. So dynamic pricing is that the price of something can change based on demand at that point in time or perceived demand at that point in time.
Like, yeah, it's also called surge pricing.
You go to, I think it might have been Wendy's said that they were going to have dynamic pricing on their fast food menu, and everybody got really mad because you go there for lunch and things cost more or whatever, right?
Yeah, yeah. Although apparently the term goes back to 1927.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The next one's a fun one. Russ, you want to read it?
Slop.
Slop.
Art, writing, or other content generated using artificial intelligence.
Oh, yeah.
Shared and distributed online in an indiscriminate or intrusive way.
Uh-huh.
And characterized as being of low quality, inauthentic, inaccurate. And Kathy, please tell about Geisha. That was just so weird.
Oh, yeah. We were testing out ChatGPT with various little language questions. And I asked for an example of words that sound like they're from a foreign language, but are not. So I specifically said, what's a word that sounds Japanese, but is not, that we use in English? And they said geisha.
What was the origin of geisha? They said it was like from Old English, wasn't it?
I think so. I don't remember now. Give me a second. I'll get back to you in a moment. I'm going to find this.
But as
I'm
recall, Kathy got like, it's an for etymology, from the Old English, which was just shocking.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, here. They said the word geisha comes from the Old English word guise, G-Y-S-E, or G-Y-S-E-G. But it might sound like it has a Japanese origin due to its association with Japanese culture. It's like, thank you.
I know.
Thank you, ChatGPT.
Let's say again that that was completely wrong, just in case anybody started listening just
yeah,
now.
Don't think of it. But here's the problem with all of that, though, because if you don't know, I mean, that one's so obvious. But think of times when it's not that obvious. And they did take probably a real word from Old English. So it could, if you don't know any better, sound sort of plausible, which is dangerous.
It is. The answer to all of that is don't ask ChatGPT for factual information. That's not what it doesn't exist to give you factual information. It exists to predict what factual information might sound like.
Yeah, precisely.
And
that's
definitely not the same thing.
Yeah, and we go, we look up geisha, we find it's not Old English at all. It comes from the Latin.
I don't believe that's not true either.
I want to go on record for saying that. I don't really think that's true.
That was a joke. It was a funny joke.
We already covered Demure, which they had had.
That was on their short list.
Yeah. And lore. Do you know lore, Fletcher?
Yeah, lore is like the world, the built world underneath something, the backstory to everything.
And you know why it's big now?
Why it's big now? I hear it in lots of different places. So no, I don't specifically know what you're talking about here.
Well, they're saying the lore surrounding a particular celebrity. And if you know it, it's sort of a gatekeeping behavior. And some fans can lay claim to superior knowledge. They know the lore.
Yeah.
Of...
I mean, it can be used in that context. I mean, it's used in a similar way for a lot of things. If you know the backstory to whatever, or if you know all of the stories surrounding it. Yeah, that's the lore.
This list I like. I like their short list. It's a little different. It's not all, you know, demure-y kind of words.
This one, though, is demure. Romanticy. Do you know that one, Fletcher?
No. Is it like a romantic fantasy?
Uh-huh.
It's a hybrid genre fusing romance and fantasy. That one, I think, I see everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's romanticy books right and left, all over the place.
It's the coming thing in fiction. It's coming thing.
Yeah,
it's the
coming
thing.
It's the going thing.
Yeah. I know. It drives me crazy.
Everyone's a romanticy author now. I know.
Okay, let's move on. This one I like. This is like a completely different direction. We're going Merriam-Webster's word of the year was polarization.
Okay. What this sounds like is that Merriam-Webster did not do a poll, and they didn't go for a word that was just really popular that year. It sounds to me like they are more in the zeitgeisty vein, where they're trying to find a word that sort of describes the year to us.
Actually, they chose it to great degree because they said that it was one of the words that, quote, stood out in their lookup data. Mm-hmm. I mean, but they chose it from that.
They chose it, though. I don't think it was done by scientifically like X percent or whatever.
Yeah. Like they look at their top, 2000 looked up words and they saw, oh, polarization's there. That's pretty good for this year. To me, that's a pretty good way to choose a word of the year.
Mm-hmm. I think it is, too. The one interesting thing is when we looked it up, I was surprised how many scientific terms it involved. Like one definition in the OED was polarization, the measurement of the optical activity of a sugar solution. Now, that would be a definition I would never have guessed.
Oh, see, now that was the first one I thought of.
Yeah, that's clearly what they're talking about. That, I mean, that describes this year like no other word.
Yeah. I don't know. I think a ray of light transmitted through a plate of agate cut by planes.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Pretty good, too.
It's interesting, though, where it came from, which is sort of like fitting. It started in 1812, so I'm immediately hearing in my head. And meaning, obviously, the state of having different properties on different sides. But you see why that was a valid choice for this year, I think.
Sure.
Although in 1812, it was scientific. It only became figurative in the 1870s with social and political groups. And it became really big in 1945 after the war, when it was, I guess, you know, communism versus capitalism or something. So it really has a relatively recent history in terms of polarization, in terms of people. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a very good word this year. I think definitely.
I was wondering, but all the words that we'd said before that made me feel like nobody could quite get a handle on what the year felt like.
Mm-hmm.
But polarization is much, much closer.
I like it.
Well said.
I really like it. Yeah, I think it was a good choice.
Because it seems like a very different year from the summer to the fall. You're right. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a different year completely.
Okay, the short list they also had. They actually had a lot of different ones. I mean, they had Demure was one. Mm-hmm. But we have Totality. That was another.
There was an eclipse this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then from there, it became, you know, like generally, you know, the idea of totality. The other one was Fortnite, which was from Taylor Swift's song.
Ah, of course.
In the States. more Taylor Swift.
I mean, you gotta get some Taylor Swift in there somehow.
They also had Pander, because they were saying that was because of the election. Both sides were using the word pandering to the voters a lot, the phrase.
Yeah.
So apparently that got looked up a lot.
That seems like every election, though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I think so.
And then going back to the AI stuff, we have resonate. Apparently resonate, along with explore, captivate, and tapestry, were identified as ChatGPT favorites. And
oh, wow.
People started looking up resonate. The next one, Kath, I thought that was really interesting. I did not know this word. Did you guys tell
me? No, Kath? I did not. Ask Fletcher.
Okay, Fletcher. Elision. A-L-L-I-S-I-O-N.
Oh, no.
Like this... collision, but without the C-O and an A instead.
And with an A instead. Yeah, well put. No, I've never heard this word, elision. I've heard illusion, right? And I've heard elision, E-L-I-S-I-O-N, but I've never heard... Elision with A-L. No. What is this?
Do you remember in March, Baltimore's Francis Scott Key Bridge collapsed?
Yes, I do remember that.
When the container ship Dally ran into it. What happened there?
A big boat ran into a bridge and it fell apart.
And it was an...
Apparently it was an elision.
Yes!
Okay, I still don't know what this means, unless it means a big boat ran into a bridge.
That's it, pretty much. I mean, yeah. An elision, they make the point that news sources always call this a collision, but maritime publications always used elision.
Oh,
so it's a ship runs into a dock, a bridge, a stationary object. That's an elision. A collision is two ships go boom and hit each other.
Wow. I did not know this.
So like,
I did not know this
ship,
one.
When the ship runs into a stationary object, it's an elision.
Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
Who knew?
Well, lots of people who work on boats probably knew, but me here in the center of the United States, I definitely did not know about that. There's always those nautical terms that I always get me. I'm just not prepared for
them. I like that.
Yeah. No, I like it too. It's good to know.
And then the others were cognitive. And that was obviously when there were so many reports about Biden and debates and this and that.
Uh-huh.
And democracy ended up was the last one on their short list, which is an interesting choice.
Yeah.
Collins Dictionary had brat. We've talked about brat a lot.
Yeah. I wondered if somebody would mention brat. I'm surprised nobody else mentioned brat, frankly.
Well, in a few seconds, others will.
Yes.
Their runners up were interesting because they had brain rot again, romanticy again. Delulu, remember we talked about that, as in deluded. Oh, that's so Delulu. That was a runner-up. And raw dogging. That's that thing where people get on planes, you don't do anything, you just sit on the long flight and don't do anything. I don't understand it.
But I don't get it. Get me a book.
Really. I'll have a drink. You know, looks maxing, which is when you do everything and anything to try to look better. And yapping. Yapping, I thought was an odd one.
Like talking a lot?
Yeah. This one, Kathy and I get accused of yapping all the time by our respective spouses. And I accuse Kathy of yapping.
I have to admit, Ross, I yap more than you. I've got to admit it.
I think we're both yappers, but I think you're the world champs on that.
But this has been happening for decades.
Yeah, right? I don't understand why they shortlisted that one. I don't get it.
You said that was Collins Dictionary?
Correct.
Yes.
Are they American?
They're UK.
Yeah, okay. Some of those words sort of overlapped with the Oxford one, so I wondered if they were UK.
Yes, very good, Fletcher. Here's Cambridge, though, and their word of the year was not overlapping. It's manifest. And they did this by looking it up. They said manifest was looked up almost 130,000 times on the Cambridge Dictionary, making it one of the most viewed words of 2024. But what does manifest mean, basically? To reveal, to show up.
I also hear it used sort of even to like create something or to
make
something.
That's the idea. Yeah.
Okay.
That's the relatively new idea, manifesting reality.
Okay. I hear that a lot. Exactly. Yeah. I hear that a lot now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I hear that
all the time.
Yeah. I find it irritating, but that's just me.
Manifest, baby. Manifest.
That doesn't bother me because I never really used the word manifest in its previous definition.
No, I think I object to like the people saying like, you know, a rich movie star says, well, I just manifested my career.
Okay, well, you object to the whole philosophy.
Concept, the thing, yeah. They also had the other popular terms they said that were searched were brat, here we go again. Demure, here we go again.
And?
Goldilocks. You had heard this, Ross, you had said.
I hear this all the time. I look at financial stuff a lot.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
And they're always talking about like Goldilocks stock, you know, it's Goldilocks, like they're in a Goldilocks situation, they're in the right place, you know, et cetera. I hear that a lot. Mm-hmm.
You know, something in the financial world, something I heard a lot this year was soft landing.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a biggie. Yeah.
Yeah. As the Fed was trying to slow the economy down while not harming unemployment or employment too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's another term I think that is probably best used with the Fed, which is wishful thinking. So now we're going to move on to, we just wrote this word. Speaking of mispronouncing, we wrote economist as economoist.
Okay, bookmark that one. We're going to try to get that into common usage.
I know. I like how it sounds. Yeah,
it's anyway, feeling a big little word economoist, of the year. Isn't it?
Talking about soft landings, never mind.
There, sort of on that level, their word of the year was kakistocracy.
Oh, okay. Can you describe what that means? Because that seems like that's a really online term right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's basically rule of the worst.
Okay.
It comes from the Greek word kratia, which is rule. Like a democracy is rule of the people. In this case, aristocracy is theoretically it used to mean the rule of the best. Aristos is the best. Then it came to mean aristocrats, you know, the nobility ruling. And then kakistocracy means basically we have the rule of the worst people.
Well, right, kakos, okay. We can all figure out what that alludes to.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Sure. I didn't know that.
Well, in ancient Greek, it basically just means bad.
Okay.
But
the interesting thing, I just have to interject for 1 second. They had said the shortlist changed dependent upon the result of the election. They said they probably would have picked brat. Had Kamala Harris won.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, yeah. That was, I mean, but that was pretty connected to Kamala Harris at the time, remember, because Charlie XCX said Kamala was brat.
Mm-hmm.
So that would have, that would have changed the word of the year a lot, at least.
Totally. And they even said, which I thought was an interesting way of putting it, they said, but Ms. Harris did not win, and so brat is unlikely to go down in history except as the answer to a trivia question. Which I thought was really interesting.
Anyway, let's go back to they also had theatrocracy. I can't pronounce. How would you pronounce that? Basically, theatercracy. Basically, sort of getting excited by people who can work the crowds, which would lead to another word they mentioned, which was ochlocracy, which is ruled by the mob. Greek word ochlos means mob.
Huh.
But let's pick our own words quickly. What's yours, Fletcher?
Well, my word of the year is quite personal and maybe aspirational, just because of my own personal situation. My word of the year would be sleep, which is something that I don't get a lot of these days.
That's actually a very plaintive choice, Fletcher.
I have a child under 1 year old, and I have another child that is 3 years old, and so. Yeah, like I said, that's something I sleep. Aspire to, but not something that comes my way very often.
It'll happen. Trust us. It's right there. Mine is just because it drives me crazy. I chose the suffix core because I got so tired of it. And I know it's been around for a while, but this year, for some reason, with Barbie core and cottage core, and when there was another core, norm core, of course, we all know. And I think it's because I got a lot of design and fashion emails and newsletters, et cetera, et cetera. And I am really ready to like close the door on core. I've just had enough.
So that's interesting. We should have a new one called suffix and prefix.
Yeah. You know, Kathy, there's some chance you made that your word of the year last year.
Did I? Did I do it again?
I don't know, uh-oh, but it's clearly bothering you enough that...
Yeah, why not? Have it twice. Yeah,
okay, sure, thank no. you. Well, it still is, you know, then, and
if
I'm
it's
still
continued
angry.
On through, yeah, no. I was just saying, that's one that's really gotten under your skin if it's carried
it
over.
It has. Yeah. I just saw another thing. Oh, well, besides that, I got very upset with Pantone on their color of the year, but that's another story.
Oh, yeah.
It's mocha.
Is that what it's called? Okay, yeah, I've seen the color. I didn't know what it was yeah. called.
It's like something mocha, but it's like really annoying me. I'm crabby. I'm a little bit of a crank.
Ross, how about you?
Well, mine is actually, I'm crabby about something too. Mine is billionaire. I am really getting sick of people talking about billionaires all the time. During the election, we had how many billionaires does Kamala Harris have? How many billionaires does Trump have? Mm-hmm. I read some articles saying how many billionaires, can billionaires solve the problem in Ukraine? Can billionaires solve climate problems? I'm really just getting to the point where I'd like to see, can scientists do this? Mm-hmm. Can writers do this? Can other, it seems like we're just focusing all the time on billionaires and how great they are.
I think that's actually a really good word. I mean, not
I
just
like
because,
that.
Yeah, not just because we are focusing so much on them, but also because of how much influence all of that money is having.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good one, Ross. I like it. You're Saying It Wrong is part of the NPR network and is produced in the studios of KMUW in Wichita, Kansas, by me, Fletcher Powell. Kathy Petras records from her home in Armenia, Spain. Ross Petras from his home in Toronto, Ontario, in Canada. Torrin Anderson composed our theme music, and our digital team is Beth Golay, Kate Hutchins, and Carly Cooper. You can find all of our past episodes by subscribing to the You're Saying It Wrong podcast wherever you get your podcasts, or by visiting us at kmuw.org. If you have a question for Kathy and Ross, if you'd like to suggest a topic, or you just want to reach out, you can email me at powell@kmuw.org or email them at kandrpetras@gmail.com. You can also email us a voice memo of you asking it your question. You might get your voice heard on air. If you'd like to do the same thing by downloading the KMUW app, you can do that and just click the Talk to Us button. You can find all of Kathy and Ross's books pretty much anywhere you get books, and a handful of them are also available on audiobook, read by the authors themselves. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week.
We could all use a little help navigating the news these days. The Consider This podcast wants to give you a hand. 6 days a week, we'll help you make sense of the day's biggest news story and what it means for you in less than 15 minutes. Listen now to the Consider This podcast from NPR.